Live from the Oxygen Community Studios, we are the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. The show started off with a hug between me and Gambo, and I think it's pretty much gone downhill ever since, but we're doing our best. It was a big, warm, and fuzzy moment at the start of the show, and we've been just trying to live that down ever since. Howard Balzer, long-time NFL writer. Man, Howard Balzer's been doing this for a long time.
Are you trying to say he's old?
Google him. I bet he's pretty old. Yeah. Okay. I'm just I'm not speaking to his age. I'm speaking to his level of experience.
Okay.
Yes. And he's seen a lot and he's covered a lot. He's done a lot. He might be an old baby, but it doesn't matter. He's experienced quite a bit. My take, he writes on SIs.com website, sit Kyler Murray in the final preseason game. There's no reason to play Kyler Murray in the preseason finale against New Orleans. A handful of snaps won't make a difference.
Says in week one of the preseason, 16 starting quarterbacks did not play. In week two, that number was 15 that did not play. So it's just, this is the trend now that a lot of these guys are, you know, just not playing. And he says, what will be the number this week? Potentially higher than in either of the first 2 weeks. And Murray should be in this group simply watching. And then he goes and he follows team by team, look at the quarterbacks that played and those that didn't, along with snap counts and percentage and, you know, things like that. And they go through and you start looking at every team. You're going to see the top guy throwing the ball, Felipe Franks, Tyler Huntley, Mitchell Trubisky, Will Greer, Kyle LaLetta, Ben DiNucci, David Bloch, Kurt Benkert.
I was going to say, $5 out of my pocket right now if you could name the guy who's got the most snaps for the Green Bay Packers. But you already read him.
I just read
his name, right?
Kurt Benkert.
Yeah, well, too late. You're not getting the $5
now.
I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't
read
it.
Would.
No,
I
nobody
would. The Chargers, top guy, Easton Stick. For the Rams, it's Bryce Perkins. For Minnesota, it's Kellen Mund. For the Giants, it's Brian Lewerke.
Yeah,
I mean, you start to go down this list, and like almost every team, Logan Woodside for Tennessee, like Sean Mannion for Seattle, like the top guy getting reps most of the time is not the guy that's going to be the starting quarterback.
No, in fact,
but the Jets, it's Zach Wilson. Okay,
that's one.
It's Zach Wilson is one. Tua,
that's two.
Tua would be two. Mahomes,
three.
Trevor Lawrence,
four.
I think that's it.
Now that we know Teddy Bridgewater's the starter in Denver, Drew Lock's actually gotten more snaps than him, right? I think he's played more.
Uh-huh.
So not him. We know Andy Dalton is going to be the starter in Chicago.
Brandon Allen has got the most snaps in Cincinnati because that's Burrow's not playing.
Yeah, although he is going to play this week. I read he's going to play limited snaps for Joe Burrow versus the Dolphins.
Dalton's the starter in Chicago.
Yeah, so you basically one hand.
You're talking
about one hand.
Four guys.
Yeah.
So like, I just like I'm done with this. He's got to play. I'd like to see him play. If he plays, I'll watch it because of the interest level. If he doesn't play, oh my God, I can't believe Cliff missed this golden opportunity to get him to throw the ball six times in the game. Do you know what that could have meant for the next game? Like, oh, doesn't mean anything.
Nope. It only means
not
something
enough.
If Kyler Murray wants it to mean something. And I'll explain that in a minute. Here's Cliff Kingsbury from today. He was asked again if the starters will play. And again, Cliff was pretty vague about it.
I'm not sure yet. We'll know after tomorrow's practice and decide, you know, what's best for us.
I played this cut earlier, but everybody got a good chuckle out of it. He did see improvement in the offense during practice this week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all we had to do was move the ball about a yard forward, and that was improvement. So we're not talking about much, but they definitely were focused and understand, you know, what we want to be about, and I think they responded well this week.
I think the only reason why Kyler Murray should play on Saturday is if Kyler Murray wants to play, is if Kyler Murray goes to Cliff and says, man, that was terrible. Yeah. I was awful. Play me. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Got about the same chance of that happening as you going to Rod Lake and say, look, man, I want to work 7 days a week. Can I work Saturday and Sunday? Can I do a show on Saturday and Sunday? Man, I don't want a day off.
At this point, I'm trying to get Fridays off on an everyday basis. I'm not asking for extra days. I'm asking, can I get less days? Can I be, hey, where do I get one of those gigs where you only work 4 days a week, right? And you do four.
Let's say if you got five vacation weeks, well, you get eight vacation weeks. But say you got five, that's 25 days. You could do half the year getting three-day weekends. Never have a week off, but just half the year on three-day weekends.
What a goal.
I know, right? That
yes, here's
nice.
My vacation schedule. Every Friday off until I don't have any more days
Seriously,
left.
If I worked in an if I worked in an industry where they gave me the option of you can either work 5 8-hour days or 4 10-hour days.
You do 4 10
every day.
Every day.
Sure.
Every day.
Sure. Well, I wouldn't even think about it.
My brother gets every other Friday off, but that is because they work them into the absolute ground before they get that Friday off. But every other Friday.
Do you care to say what your brother does? What
is
your brother?
He's an engineer. He does space things. So.
Wow.
Dang.
That's on his business card. I do space things.
How does the parents feel about that?
Bob Cazell, I do space things.
I do space things, and Sarah does the updates on the Burns and Gambo show.
Yeah, they're really proud. Yeah, for sure.
Sure. You know who the favorite in that family is.
Oh, coincidentally, it's neither of us. It's the younger brother.
What's he do?
He works for Honeywell.
Oh, he works for Honeywell.
I should probably know what he does.
Do you even get mentioned in family conversations when they come up? Like, let me tell you what my son is doing.
Oh, my son.
He's a space thing guy.
Yeah, and my other son, he works for Honeywell.
Don't you have a daughter?
Yes.
No, not really.
She does Sports Center updates on the Burns and Gambo show.
She does ED commercials.
She does ED commercials. We're really proud of her. She who shall remain nameless.
That conversation took a turn. Didn't see that one coming.
Anyway, shout out to my brother.
And your parents, who are devoted listeners to the show, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They've never listened once.
Oh, yeah. You're getting a text from your mother in 3, 2, and 1. I mean, it's coming any minute now. I know.
Honeywell stock and the space,
look,
whatever it is.
You're right. There is about as good a chance as me going to our boss and saying I want to work 7 days a week as there is of Kyler Murray going to Cliff. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I think Kyler, based off of his comments from about a week ago and based off of how uninspiring his play was in that game on Friday, I think Kyler wants to be in the class of quarterback who doesn't get to play in the preseason. Man, I want to be in. It's like a club with the velvet ropes, you know? And right now, Kyler's standing in line to get in that club. Yeah. He wants to be a guy who's ushered into the club without having to stand behind the velvet ropes. He wants to be the guy who they lift the velvet ropes for to let you into the club of quarterbacks who don't have to play in the preseason. I don't think he wants anything to do with it. And so unless he goes to Cliff and says, man, Cliff, I know you probably don't want to play me on that turf in New Orleans, but God, that was just so awful last week against Kansas City. Will you please play me on Saturday night so I can get a good feeling? And I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
I don't know if we agree on this or not. I think the reason he doesn't want to play is because he just doesn't think there's anything to get out of it.
I think that's a big part of it.
That's why he doesn't want to play. Like, why does, not because he's too good for anybody or I've reached that status where I don't have to play. I think he doesn't want to play because I don't get anything out of it. I'd rather practice. I don't get anything out of you playing me two series in a game with a bunch of backups all over the field.
You're right. And I guess I wasn't trying to suggest that. You're right. I'm not trying to suggest that he thinks he's above it. And that's kind of how it came out. I do think there might be a little bit of professional envy about guys who don't get, you know, who don't have to play in the preseason. Where it's like, man, I'd like to not play in the preseason. Can I not play in the preseason, please? Please? Can I be like Matthew Stafford? Can I be like Baker Mayfield? I'd love to not play in the preseason.
Well, this gives it ammunition. Look, there's a lot of guys not playing. I'm not the only guy that doesn't want to play. These other guys don't want to play either.
Yeah.
But I think the main reason he doesn't want to play is he just doesn't think there's any benefit that comes out of it.
And I wouldn't play him 1 minute in that game on Saturday. And I think Cliff's answer, the question the other day, is proof positive that he won't. But we'll see. The decision apparently is coming tomorrow after practice. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he has watched his team struggle through a record road losing streak and multiple double-digit losing streaks. Why is Torrey saying that now this is the most frustrated he's been this season as the Diamondbacks manager? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Crave Cheeseburger. For a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
We got Diamondbacks baseball coming up on ESPN 620 in about 45 minutes or so. We'll keep you updated on that game. And before we preview that game here on the Burns and Gambo show, let's take a look back at last night's loss by the Diamondbacks, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. Keep in mind, this is a team in the Arizona Diamondbacks that had a 13-game losing streak this season, a 17-game losing streak this
season. Nothing like the Orioles.
And a 24-game road losing streak this season. And you're right, nothing like the Orioles, who are rapidly approaching the all-time longest losing streak in the history of modern baseball.
Set by the Orioles.
Set by the Orioles, yes.
Orioles are trying to break a record by the Orioles.
To be a Baltimore fan, yeah. Ooh, Cal Ripken Jr., where have you gone?
Eddie Murray.
Yeah, seriously. Troy
Brooks
Lovello.
Robinson.
Despite all of that, 13-game losing streak, 17-game losing streak, 24-game road losing streak. After last night's loss to the Pirates, well, I'll let Torrey Lovello tell you.
Torrey, you've talked a lot about effort and the guys playing hard, and there's no question they are. And how do you balance that with skill set and it, you know, experience and all the things you have to evaluate?
Yeah, you know, this is a really tough time for us. Look, I'm probably right now as I sit here in front of you guys, my frustration is at an all-time high. I have huge expectations of this team, and I want them to know that. I want them to know that they can go out and win at every inch possible on any given night. We can win a baseball game and execute at the highest level that we can. So balancing act for me is tough. You know, emotionally, the swings are great, but this group goes out every single day to win baseball games, and that's all I care about. You know, today I felt like we left left a few chips on the table. We had some opportunities to play some downhill baseball, and I think the outcome would have been totally different had we gotten out to an early lead. But, you know, that's the beauty of this game. We got to keep fighting, which we did. But it is a balancing act, Craig. It's not easy. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for the staff, and it's not easy for the players. But at 7 o'clock every day, they go out there and give great effort, and that's my main concern.
I believe him, but his mindset is just not right. How do you like the way Josh Rojas is playing right now? Playing really well.
Yeah, he is.
How about Dalton Varsho?
He's playing real well.
Paven Smith.
Yeah, I've been happy with him.
Like that's what you're building for, Torrey. You're not like the wins and losses. Play to win. I get it. Play to win. But that's not the priority. The priority is to develop the young players and figure out where they fit with pieces next year. And you know what? For the most part, like, you've done that. Like, these players are, you know, we were complaining a lot in the beginning of the year that players aren't taking advantage of, but it's mainly been the pitchers that haven't taken advantage of their opportunities.
Yeah.
But then Humberto Mejia goes out there and throws a terrific game the other day. Like, but the position players, I've liked what I've seen out of Dalton Varsho and out of Paven Smith and out of Josh Rojas and others. So I think that's where your mindset has to be, on focusing on those guys.
You know, and in fairness to Torrey, I'll say this. I bet largely in 19 hours out of the 24-hour day, that's where his mindset is. I bet 10 minutes after they just lost a game to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are one of the worst teams in baseball, that's not where his mindset is at. You know, like, that's a hard mindset to have 10 minutes after you just lost another game to the Pittsburgh Pirates, after you lost last night to the Pittsburgh Pirates, after you lost 2 or 3 to the Colorado Rockies. Like, I get it. He probably wakes up in the morning and probably feels exactly the way you say he should feel. That's a hard way to feel after you lose another game. 10 minutes after you lose that game, and he goes out there to, hey, man, I don't care that we lost. Man, Josh Rojas, the future's bright. Paven Smith, the future bright. He's emotionally, that's a tough ask for a guy. To 10 minutes after a loss to be able to go, hey, everything's great, well, everything's awesome, no worries here.
He said he's the most frustrated that he's ever been. He's the most frustrated that he's ever
it's
been.
It's hard to believe when you've had 17-game losing streaks, 13-game losing streaks, and 24 in a row lost on the road. That's hard to believe that this is the most frustrated.
Yeah,
it's been,
I mean, I get it. The whole season has been frustrating. But there is, you know, a little bit of a silver lining with the fact that some of these players have gotten an opportunity and really taken advantage
of it. Yeah, I'm just not going to blame him for not saying that 10 minutes after a baseball game when he's probably pretty upset about what happened. We do have a little
Real quick, this kid from South Dakota just threw a no-hitter against California.
Oh, in the Little League World Series?
Little League World Series.
Wow.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota just beat California 1-0. They only had three hits in the game. The kid threw a no-hitter.
Is he starting for the Diamondbacks tomorrow?
No, 5 days from now. Let's give his arm a little bit of rest.
That's true. You know what? He probably threw 185 pitches. Let's give the kid a chance.
South Dakota
to
beat
rest
California
himself.
Kid threw a no-hitter. That is phenomenal. Just wanted to mention that.
All right. Before we preview tonight's game between the D-backs and the Pirates, okay. From Zach Buchanan on the Athletic website, Caleb Smith's agent responded to the investigation and the appeal process of Caleb Smith. And to try to explain it as simply as I can, what the agent is basically saying is, look, the rules allow you, when you're a pitcher, to use the rosin bag as a way to, you know, kind of help your grip on the ball. What he is saying has happened is that by using the rosin bag, Caleb Smith got rosin inside of his glove, and that it's unfair to tell a pitcher you can use the rosin bag as a way to help your grip, but if there's any rosin inside your glove, that's a no-no. Like, how are you supposed to keep rosin out of your glove if you're asking a pitcher to use the rosin bag to help improve his grip on the ball? And that's, the gray area. Now, the agent has said, I don't think we're going to win the appeal. And he goes, by the letter of the law, you know, did he have rosin in his glove? Yes, he had rosin in his glove. And if they want to go get him by the letter of the law, we're not going to win this. He's not going to win his appeal. He's not going to avoid the suspension. But he goes, think about it for just a minute. There's a rosin bag on the mound. You use the rosin bag. It might be, in certain circumstances, unavoidable to get a buildup of rosin inside your glove. And that they need to look at that part of the rule because he thinks that's what they got him
on. Is rosin a banned substance?
Yes, because it's a foreign substance, but it's not banned because every single pitcher's mound in America has a rosin bag on it. So it's clearly not banned when you're on the field and you go over to the rosin bag and use it. It's just banned when you get rosin inside your glove. See the distinction?
I think so. This is all new, right? This is all new. But he said he doesn't think we're going to win the appeal?
No, he said that. In the black and white of the rule, the agent said, quote, if it's a binary process, did rosin end up on a glove? Yes. Close quote. He said he's just hoping that the guy who hears the appeal sees the shades of gray in it. Quote, if a player were to grab a rosin bag with his bare hand, which is on the back of the mound and accepted by players and everybody for as long as the game has been around, and that same player were to touch a baseball immediately, everybody accepts that as fair. If the same rosin bag touches a player's hat, belt, glove, anything, that same exact substance is now deemed a foreign substance, and that's when you get suspended.
Here's what I would look for. Does any player that pitches in the major leagues come to Caleb Smith's defense on this and say, that's ridiculous? Like, does anybody? Because if nobody comes to his defense, I might not buy this argument that they're making.
Yeah.
But if I hear other pitchers say, that's ridiculous. There's no way to keep rosin off of our gloves. We're picking up this rosin bag every inning. There's no way to not have that rosin touch our glove. There's no way. So I'd like to see if anybody comes to his defense. And if nobody does, then I don't know that I'm buying that.
Pitching matchup tonight brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's B-U-R-G Simpson. .com, good lawyers changing lives. Bryce Wilson goes for the Pirates as they go for the sweep in this series. Tyler Gilbert, he of the no-hitter a couple of starts ago, gets the start for the Arizona Diamondbacks. His last time out against Colorado, though, he gave up 4 earned runs in 5 innings pitched. Your MLB standings, and they are brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make your finances easier. We look at the standings, and we can tell you right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks obviously still very much in last. The Giants have a 2.5 game lead over the Dodgers. The Padres now 14 games back of San Francisco.
See that catch by A.J. Pollock?
I sure did. Like, 3 people thought they caught a home run. Yeah. The Diamondbacks 2.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles for the worst record of Major League Baseball. Let's get you a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I'm a huge key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to selltosands.com today.
All right, he got reinstated, Bryce Wilson, from the 10-day IL. He had arm fatigue, so his arm may be a little tired. Hasn't pitched since August 14th, but here's the key to the game. Put the ball in play. balls put in play against Bryce Wilson are being hit at an average of 323. Don't strike out. Put the ball in play, because teams are having success putting the ball in play against Bryce Wilson.
All right, that game's coming up at 4:05. Again, you'll hear it on ESPN 620. When we come back, the power conferences at college football are all jockeying to control their own futures. Where is that going to leave the Big 12 and their schools? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. We're going to have our colleague John Wilner on the show in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:15. If you're interested in college football talk, what the alliance means for the Pac-12 from his view. He, of course, is the best Pac-12 insider there is. He joins us all the time from the San Jose Mercury News. That's coming up at 4:15. There was a story yesterday, George Kliavkov, after he's the commissioner of the Pac-12. After the press conference, he had told The Athletic that we'll basically decide by Friday whether we're going to expand or not. And the quote that I didn't see until this morning was a quote that Kliavkov gave to Sports Illustrated yesterday afternoon, quote, "A lot of the things you can achieve by expanding are things we can achieve by the relationships we announced this morning," close quote. A lot of people are reading into that as no expansion is imminent for the Pac-12, because the commissioner is basically on record as saying, why? We don't really need to. Everything we would want out of expansion, we just got, with this alliance that we have with the ACC and with the Big Ten. So if you're the Big 12, and now that's like the next, as the story kind of evolves and grows, I noticed a bunch of stories today. I know you did too. About, okay, what now for the Big 12? They didn't get invited to the alliance.
No.
Texas and Oklahoma are around for 5 years, maybe less. Do they expand? Do they, what happens to the Big 12 now after this alliance was formed yesterday?
Look, it says it becomes increasingly clear the Big 12 is unlikely to add other Power 5 teams to its membership. Last season was the fifth time in 7 seasons of the playoff era that the AAC was represented in a New Year's Six bowl game. Cincinnati earned the league its fourth top 10 finish. But the AAC commissioner, Mike Oresko, said he hasn't spoken to any Big 12 athletics directors about realignment. "I haven't. I never did before. We're not doing that." The Mountain West commissioner, Craig Thompson, told ESPN that we've got a good league. We're solid. So the Big 12 may be looking to see if they could add some schools from other areas, but it doesn't seem like those schools are very interested, because you're not joining a Big 12 that has Texas and Oklahoma. You're joining a Big 12 that could dissolve.
Yeah.
If the Pac-12 decides to go take somebody, the Big 12 could just dissolve. I think a lot of people want to see the Big 12 survive just to hold Texas and Oklahoma to the fire. You've got to play for the next 3 years. You got to play here. You can't go anywhere.
Yep.
You got to play here.
I think you're absolutely right.
I think let's hold them to it. They can't leave unless they pay, to come up with a massive payout to the Big 12.
$80 million to get out.
Yeah, and even then you might say, maybe you take the money. Because again, the problem the Big 12 is going to have more than anything is when it's not getting these paydays anymore, when Texas and Oklahoma do leave, whether that's now, they're no longer a top-tier status. They're not going to get the paydays. But you know this in college athletics. All that money's been spent. Hey, we're budgeting that we're going to get all this money for the next 10 years. We're going to upgrade this facility. We're going to build a softball field. And we're going to build a soccer stadium. We're going to get a new weight room. That money's spent.
Yeah.
Nobody waits till the money comes in and spends it. They spend the money based on. So now you're going to have to cut budgets. You're going to have to cut people. You're not going to be able to afford these coaches. That Iowa State coach, there's no way. That Campbell, he's not staying. Like, they're not going to be able to afford the coaches, and they're probably going to have to cut programs eventually once Texas and Oklahoma leave.
Heather Dinich, college football insider for ESPN, was on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show, and they asked her what happens to the Big 12 now.
What does it do to the rest of the Big 12? As they're united, does it create more division amongst the 10 FBS conferences? And George Kliavkov, the Pac-12 commissioner, told me yesterday that in the next coming days, before the end of this week, the Pac-12 is going to decide if it wants to expand. Clearly, after the alliance, they're not going to take any schools from the Big Ten or the ACC. So do they look to the Big 12? That's where the X factor is in all of this. Do the Pac-12 university presidents and chancellors want a foothold in the state of Texas, in the central time zone? If they do, I can almost guarantee you Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor, they'd all jump at the opportunity if it was presented. If that were to happen, the rest of the Big 12 would probably dissolve.
But again, remember, Klyavkov is on record saying, hey, everything we can achieve through expansion, we just achieved through this alliance, which kind of made you think that maybe they wouldn't expand. And then remember yesterday, man, the words coming out of that presser, Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, we want and need the Big 12 to be successful.
We want and need the Big 12 to do well. The Big 12 matters in college athletics. The Big 12 matters in Power 5 athletics.
So can you imagine
it
if you're
won't anymore? Not in Power 5. It won't anymore.
Well, I know, but can you imagine if you just got done saying that, and now one of the conferences that you signed up with in this alliance
takes a team,
goes and gets two teams from the Big 12. I mean, you can't on a Tuesday say how great the Big 12 is and we need the Big 12 to be successful, and on a Friday announce that you're raiding Texas Tech, that you're raiding TCU. That would come across as a tad hypocritical if you're talking about how important they are to the college football landscape, and then you go snag two of their teams. I don't think the Pac-12 is going to do anything when it comes to the Big 12. What I want to know more than anything is the Big 12. If you're, okay, maybe you're not going to go to the ACC or the Big 10 or the Pac-12. Do you leave to the AAC? You know, do you leave to the Mountain West? Do you
get ahead of it?
Do you get ahead of it?
So you're taking one school, like it's just Oklahoma State?
Yeah, just say Oklahoma State, and you're like, you know what? This Big 12, it's going to die in a few years. Let's get out of here while we still can. Baylor looks around.
How about if you're Kansas with one of the premier basketball programs in the country and the Big East calls? Hey, major basketball conference right here. Yes. Power basketball conference. You want to come play with us?
Yep.
You're Kansas. You know what? I can make that work.
Get out while you still can. It's that. And that to me is where expanding the Big 12, man, you got to worry about keeping the Big 12, right? You've got
to. But they weren't even invited to the meetings.
I know. But you've got to worry about keeping the guys who are already in the Big 12 in the Big 12 so you can hold Texas and Oklahoma's feet to the fire.
Right.
So you can even possibly entertain the idea of expanding your own conference.
But that's not my concern if I'm Oklahoma State or I'm Kansas, my Iowa State. It's not my concern. My concern is me. What's best for me?
Yeah.
I can't wait. Oh, listen, we really want to stick it to Texas and Oklahoma State, so we're going to stay here when we might have a golden opportunity to go somewhere else because we just want to stick it to them. No. Man, let them go. Let them out. We got to do what's best for us.
Right.
I mean, this is every man for himself right now in the Big 12.
No question.
What is best for me? Not what's best for the conference.
And that's what's got to scare that conference to death.
For me.
Yeah. Is that you're going to have eight athletic directors, eight school presidents who are going to be thinking exactly the same thing. Man, I don't care whether this thing lives or dies. Where am I going to play? Where am I going to go? Where's home for me? You know,
and if these other conferences, these other, you know, mid-majors or these smaller conferences don't want to join with them, I don't know that there's anything that they can do.
Yeah. Text the word Sparky to 620-620 and kick off this much-talked-about college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host and special guest for our Valley Virtual Series. It's presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we'll also be giving away college football tickets. Again, text the word Sparky to 620-620. He was once one of the most dominant players at his position in the NFL, and now this one Cardinals player is being looked at as a comeback player of the year candidate. We'll tell you who it is next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live from the Oxygen Community Studios, Burns and Gambo on this Wednesday afternoon. Preseason finale for the Cardinals coming up on Saturday. And then we are 2 weeks away from the regular season opener. Thank goodness when things...
Let's go!
Yeah, let's go. September 12th, baby, in Nashville at Tennessee against the Titans. Let's go. Let's. It all counts. It's all for real. It's all being judged. And we start figuring out whether this team's going to be any good this year or not, the way a lot of people think that they can be. And if they are to be good, one of the guys who's going to make them good is wide receiver A.J. Green. They did a segment this morning on Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Kay Adams, Nate Burleson. And they were going around the table with their whiteboards, and they were asked to write down the name of the player they think is going to be the comeback player of the year this year in the NFL. Nate Burleson, the former wide receiver, chose a current Cardinals wide receiver.
I'm going with A.J. Green. Yes, I've been talking about him since he left Cincinnati. I feel like A.J. Green's zone will ball out. What's the green zone? 40 and in, not the red zone. I'm talking about when they start sniffing that red zone, they're going to be able to look at A.J. because as you have Christian Kirk in the slot and then you have DeAndre Hopkins and the legs of Kyler Murray, defenses are going to forget about how good A.J. Green is. And if you've been paying attention to the headlines, what he's been doing at practice, how he's been training leading up to this season, he is in the best shape of his life. I'm saying that A.J. Green puts up 1,000 yards this season.
Woo, here we go.
1,000 yards.
Yeah, could have 2,000-yard receivers right there with A.J. Green and D-Hop. So, I mean, I feel good about this, too. I mean, I feel good that this is going to be one of the steals in free agency. With everything we've heard about A.J. Green, I'm really excited about their receiving core overall with Rondale Moore coming into the mix, too. But A.J. Green, listen, he's a number two receiver now. He's not a number one guy, so he's going to draw different assignments. So I think that he is really going to excel in that role, being the number two to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that I'm probably the most excited about when it comes to A.J. Green, too, is this idea, and you heard Nate Burleson say it a second ago, that defenses are going to forget about A.J. Green. And at first I heard that, and I thought, does anyone ever really forget about A.J. Green? But then you look at his numbers from the last couple of years, and then you look over at the other side of the field, and there's DeAndre Hopkins, and you look at Kyler Murray and his the threat level of him taking off and running, and it's actually conceivable to me that, yes, in fact, people will forget about A.J. Green. Yeah. Defenses might kind of lose track of him a little bit, not prioritize him the way they had been the last few years.
2017, last time he had 1,000 yards receiving. So he didn't do it in 18, he didn't do it in 19, he didn't do it in 20. So he's gone 3 years without having a 1,000-yard season. Can he do it again? Look, I want to look up Larry Fitzgerald because I remember Larry Fitzgerald on with us one time talking about how he's never going to be able to put up 1,000 yards again. And then he was able to go do it. So Larry Fitzgerald, I think, went a couple of years without having 1,000 yards and then got back to 1,000. So he went. Larry Fitzgerald went 3 years in a row, 2012, 13, and 14, without having 1,000 yards receiving. And then he did it. 3 years in a row, he got 1,000 yards again.
Mm-hmm.
So he went 3 years without doing it. I think you're looking for A.J. Green to do the same thing. He's gone 3 years without having 1,000 yards. You want to see him do what Fitz did. Get back to 1,000 yards. Fitz did it. A.J. Green is a number two receiver, 33 years old, seven-time Pro Bowl player. It's very possible that he can get back to that 1,000 yards, especially with being the number two option to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it going even deeper beyond the last 3 years, he's only done it once. Since 2015, he's only done it once in the last 6 years, last 5 years, where he's gone over 1,000 yards. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't. Now, one time he came close, real close, 964, but he wasn't there. If A.J. Green produces a 1,000-yard receiving season, that was a major, major home run sign for Steve Keim. If A.J. Green comes up with it. I mean, that's the kind of one that you – alone in your office by yourself, you take a bottle of champagne and you shake it up and you just kind of like spray it all over yourself, right? I mean, if he gets to 1,000 yards for $6 million this year, what a steal that would have been for the Arizona Cardinals if he can get there.
He said you've got Hop on one side, you got me on the other, you got Kirk work in the middle. It creates a lot of matchup, and that's why I picked this place.
Yeah. Yeah, here's A.J. Green from today.
Very excited, man. You know, this is what I thought it was going to be, and exactly what it is. It's an offense that I'm used to and stuff. I can actually go out there and run my big posts and be on the outside and do the things I'm used to doing. So I'm very excited for this season.
Yeah, he went on to say, I just can't wait for week one.
I'm ready for week one. You know, being a guy 11 years in, you know, preseason tends to drag a little longer. I can't wait to week one. Can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you like that about some of these guys. Motivated. He's motivated at 33 years old. He's in great shape. He's running fast as he ever did. He wants to prove that, you know, that he is still an elite receiver in this league. It was a great signing at that price. Now, I mean, all of this is talk. Look great in camp. We projected he could have 1,000 yards.
Yep.
Now you got to go out there. But a lot of that is still very dependent on Kyler Murray's ability to read defense, understand defenses, and get him the ball.
I was just going to say that. I mean, we can sit here and talk about Rondale Moore looks great, and A.J. Green looks great, and this guy looks great, and that guy looks great. And I mean, a couple things. Number one, it's August, and anytime you're talking about guys looking great in August, you just got to be – you know, you can't get too high, can't get too low, right? But I hate to go clicheville on you, but you just can't get all that high. You can't get all that low on a guy either, based off of the preseason. It's not fair to say, you know, oh, a guy looks great in preseason. Oh, I told you he was going to be great. Guy looks awful in preseason. Oh man, I knew he was going to be awful. You got to apply it equally to both players in both situations. the preseason, August, you just got to be real cautious. But in September, if he starts doing that, but you're right, man, it almost has as much to do with Kyler as it does anything else. You know, like A.J. Green can be in the best shape in his life. A.J. Green can be as motivated as all get out. If Kyler Murray can't read a defense and can't see that he's – what does it matter?
Sure.
Doesn't matter. Good a shape A.J. Green's in, if Kyler can't read a defense and know that he's the guy the ball has to go to.
If you're limited to – you got to line up on this side and go one-on-one coverage, and I can't have you running all these different routes across the middle of the field and stuff because I just can't – I can't read that quick enough, then it's going to limit A.J. Green. Look, we're hoping for Kyler to take that big step, because if he does, then there's no question that these receivers are very – you got four really good receivers here. I'm real excited about Rondale Moore, but Christian Kirk might have a great season. A.J. Green's projected to have a great season. Look, if all of those guys have great seasons, then Kyler had a great season.
Yeah.
Kyler might break some records, Arizona Cardinals records with the receiving group he has. Offensive line looks really good, right? You feel pretty good about their depth on the offensive line, their strength on the offensive line. There'll be protection for him, but it's up to him to make that step. If Kyler wants to make $40 million a year, it's right there for him.
Yeah, it is. A.J. Green, you mentioned Larry Fitzgerald earlier. They actually asked A.J. Green today about his reaction to Larry Fitzgerald saying he doesn't have the urge to play right now.
When he said he doesn't have the urge right now, that means he's still in the back of his head. So that's what I took from that. If Larry's done, if he said he was done is done, then I would have believed him. But he said he's right now was the key words. So it's a little still back there.
It's one thing when media guy says that about Fitz. When veteran wide receiver says that about Fitz,
yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like it's one thing if I think, oh, you know, he didn't close the door completely, man. It's one thing when I think that. When A.J. Green thinks that, I tend to put a little validity into that. Like, hey, A.J. Green, he didn't say the door was closed. He left it open a little bit.
So the craziest thing today on Deadspin, I'll just tell it to you quick because I was reading it. It says, you know, it talks. Fitzgerald may want to take this year off and return for the start of the 2022-23 season. But the fact he'll be 38 at the end of the month makes that option less likely. But they brought up the possibility. I'm like, man, that's
not going to happen.
I don't see that. Taking a whole year off?
It's not going to happen.
I don't see that happening either.
Cliff Kingsbury has said this is a big week for Andy Isabella, speaking of wide receivers. And based off of today, things so far so good for the young wide receiver. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.